What's up, ding dongs?
Sure. Hey, let me ask y'all.
Okay.
Tacos or pizza?
Mm.
What you thinking?
This is a tough one.
That's tough, but I'm gonna go tacos.
Oh yeah, really? I'm surprised. I hear that. I hear that though.
I think I am too. I think I would go tacos too. I don't feel great about it, but I think I would.
Okay, well, I'll go pizza then. Yeah. I gotta have one.
Yeah.
You know, I think these are both really superior foods, though.
They're great. So the Corey heads and kittens out there in listener land also think they're great, I imagine.
I mean, I don't eat meat, y'all. Y'all know this. So, but I will do like a fake meat taco or a bean taco. Those are good. I prefer crunchy.
Mm.
So I'm a crunchy person with the taco shell. Are you not? Are you soft taco?
I could. I'm verse.
That's the t-shirt. Corey's a soft taco.
No, I'm verse.
Okay. One crunch, one soft taco.
Yeah.
I feel
it depends. I know, obviously, you're a vegetarian, but it depends on the protein that's going to be in it.
I hear that.
Like, a beef taco, I want a hard shell.
Ding.
Fish taco, I want a soft corn.
Mm, yeah.
Oh, you going corn with that. Yeah, I'm definitely fake meat crunchy. You got to do it. That's just that classic balance you need.
I think I can co-sign what Brad's putting out there. I think I would add that, like, chicken tacos, I also prefer like a flour tortilla.
Yep.
That's a
soft flour, though. I don't go corn. Hmm. Anyway, now that we've solved that,
yeah,
and also probably made everybody hungry.
I mean, you made me hungry. Now I want some tacos.
Let's hurry up and talk about movies so we can get out of here and go eat tacos or pizza.
Get some tacos. I'm Corey
Kraft. Just what I need.
This is Side Talks.
I'm Rachel Morgan. This is Side Talks.
$25,000. Here is your first subject.
What is it?
Go.
Pickles.
What is it?
Well, you're about to get hit with some sound bites from films, and we're going to see how quickly you can guess it. You know the drill. As soon as you know it, you call it out, but we'll keep playing the clip so that everybody can see if they would have landed anywhere along that timeline that we're listening to. So here you go. Here's your first one. Are you ready?
I'm nervous.
I know.
I think you're about to test my brain and find it
I think you might be okay.
Okay.
So here you go. Number one.
Why did you give him these flowers?
No, they're not real. It's magic. I'm just trying to make him smile.
This is Joker.
Not funny, is it?
You got it.
Do I need to call the police?
No. Please. My mother's name is Penny. Penny Fleck. She used to work here years ago.
Okay, so you got it. You got it pretty quickly, because I even had a second one we do not need to listen to. But I did have a second one.
Is it just the fucking Gary Glitter song?
It's not. It's actually, because he says, can I see Mr. Wayne next? I just kind of cut out of that and cut back, because I knew that would be a dead giveaway. But you clearly got it just from the fake flowers. You got that it was Joker from the fake flowers. That's wild.
Yeah, that's Joaquin Phoenix playing Joker from the movie Joker.
Which you loved.
No, I fucking hate that movie. It sucks.
Oh, here we go. Let's just keep it moving.
You've seen him. You play him.
And if and I don't.
This is the Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Oh my God. We're going to listen though, because it's so good.
You play them cards, fancy damn.
Can't no one compel another man to engage in recreation. Certainly not a son of a gun as ill-humored as yourself. And as for names, my horse is Dan.
So can we also listen to the next one, because it's so good, but I can't believe how quickly. Brad. Or were you flabbergasted or what? Like, he got that, like, almost from, like, the ambient room tone.
I was about to say, yeah.
They're my favorite filmmakers.
I know, but still. I mean, I thought you'd need at least a minute, to the point where I brought in a second clip, which is also really lovely.
I do hail from Riata Pass, which is in the county of San Saba. Being the which why the San Saba songbird is my sobriquet of preference. But right now, I'd appreciate it if you'd deposit your weapon in the receptacle by the swinging doors. Which concealing of it on your person in the first place was a violation of the rules of this establishment and an offense against local norms.
So good. And also, the gentleman who plays Buster Scruggs happened to be at the Rome International Film Festival in Rome, Georgia.
Tim Blake Nelson?
Yeah, he was there.
He's the best.
He was there. His son had a film in the festival, so he showed up.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
he's so
cool.
Good.
Anyway, but that's beside the point, because you're 50% now. Let's see where we can get with the third one.
All right.
Hey, babe.
What?
Let's hold hands.
So, hey guys, I think we're about to crash into the sun.
Yeah, but it's gonna look
really
cool.
Well, this is the Lego movie.
You got it.
That's good. Will Arnett is Lego Batman.
That's really good.
Just had to place that it wasn't the Lego Batman movie, which is a great movie, by the way.
Yeah, but it'll look really cool.
Yeah, I really love that movie. Lego movie's so good.
All right, you might get 100%.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Are we skipping to number four?
Yeah, we can move on, I think. I did not think he would get that.
I love a Lego movie.
You're late.
And it was traffic.
Yeah, it's traffic.
Wasn't it traffic?
You give me traffic.
It's traffic. What do you want from us? It was bumper to fucking bumper.
Yeah, no, it's bad, you know. Traffic. I never waited for anyone who was late more than 10 minutes.
I mean, this is The Irishman.
I'd say 15. 15's right.
No, 10.
I don't think so. 10's not enough. You have to take traffic into account.
That's what I'm doing. I'm taking traffic into account. That's why it's 10.
I still say 15.
10?
Fine, we disagree on that.
Well, how about 12 and a half?
There we go. 12 and a half. Middle, right in the middle. Beautiful, beautiful.
More than 10.
I just want to memorize this, and the next time somebody's late, just go to town with this thing. It's so good.
It's so good.
It's so, so good. Anyway, 100%. Good job. Now, granted, I probably should have gone with some deeper cuts. I stayed on the surface, but, you know, we've been off for a couple of weeks. I wanted you to get back into the habit. Do not get used to it, bitch.
I don't want to get heavier. Too confident.
No, you can't.
But I'm
you
feeling can't. Pretty good about that.
100%, good job. And I think this is only the second time you've done that, am I right?
I think it is only the second time.
Let's see if I can't stump you further as we move on. Because I've been staying also pretty recent. Not that you don't have a pretty historic film knowledge there, but we may go some deeper, older cuts here soon.
Bring it on.
Let's do it. All right. But for now, you're at 100%, so enjoy it.
All right. And now, a look at what we're watching this week.
What have you been watching? You know that I've been watching Irish Wish.
You've been watching Irish Wish. I haven't been watching a ton. It's been a pretty hectic corridor of the semester. So the last few weeks, I've mostly watched older stuff at home, apart from Dune Part 2, which I saw a few weeks ago and mentioned on a previous podcast. I loved it. We don't have to get into it. It's great.
You want to know what I've seen?
What have you seen?
A couple things.
Yeah.
I saw Impulse, which is a 80s. It is one of the 80s. It could have been in the erotic 80s series, but it just wasn't a heavy enough hitter. You know, I can't do every single film Karina talks about on You Must Remember This podcast for the erotic 80s series, because it is a lot of films.
Yeah.
But it's Meg Tilly, and it is, it's not fun.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's Matheson. What's his name? What's his first name?
I think I know who you're talking about. Matheson. Yeah, I can picture his face, but I can't think of his name.
Tim, I think. Tim. Right? Does that make sense? Tim Matheson.
Yeah.
So it's him and Meg. And I actually wonder if the casting, I mean, it'd have to be a couple things. Obviously, probably the direction too, but the casting and the direction, but everything else the same. This could have been a very different and kind of fun film, but it doesn't feel very fun. This is one of my complaints about Meg Tilly a lot of times, is that unlike her sister Jennifer, it's just not a lot of fun that she brings to the screen. There's a lot of sort of sexual chemistry with some folks, some of her co-stars, and there's certainly like sort of a sexually charged persona and some dramatic, and she's great at her job, do not get me wrong, but it's just, most of the times it's just sort of without any fun.
I'm trying to think of the Meg Tilly films I've seen.
Chill. She's similarly like sort of cold and flat in The Big Chill, and I think it works there. I mean, it makes sense. And she's also surrounded by a cast of people who are super fun.
I do remember thinking she was pretty good, but kind of done wrong by the character in The Big Chill. That character doesn't get a ton.
But I also think it might be kind of her.
Psycho 2, I like her in Psycho 2.
I don't think anybody likes anything in Psycho 2, but sure.
Yeah, no, she's good in Psycho 2. Psycho 2's pretty good. But anyway, Richard Franklin, good director.
Impulse feels very 80s Stephen King-ish.
Yeah.
And, you know, the kind of the idea is that whatever's happened in this town, which I won't reveal, whatever's happened in his town has caused people to not be able, you know, they just act on their impulses, right? And she's returned home because her mother is in the hospital due to a suicide attempt. And so it's, you know, it's a little less erotic and a little more sort of thriller. It's definitely thriller first before erotic. Mm-hmm. But there is a little bit about that. And it's also a very young Bill Paxton.
Oh, cool.
And I watched this on a crusty VHS, so it wasn't the best looking thing I've seen. But, you know, I'm glad I saw it, but I just didn't really have fun with it. And then I've seen Love Lies Bleeding, which I did think was a lot of fun, but ultimately not a very good film.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. It
goes off the rails for me a little bit. I think New York Times called it the sexiest film of the year, and I just want to know who the fuck wrote that. Because whoever wrote the sexiest film of the year, they got a fetish. Something's wrong. It's not very... I didn't find it to be very sexy.
Okay.
I mean, it's... Kristen Stewart is awkwardly sexy sometimes. But I just didn't find it. I kind of thought it was just kind of all across the board gross. And then it goes off the rails for me a little bit. But at the same time, as I started talking about the film, I did have fun. I did have fun at the movies. Yeah. I was a little on the edge of my seat. I do like seeing a just wall-to-wall female... Aside from our buddy with the very strange and ridiculous haircut.
Ed Harris. With his skullet.
Aside from that, it's very female-centric, and I liked that a lot, obviously. And, you know, it was just a good time at the movies, but I got everybody who I went with, I got a lot of groans from them in the last 10 minutes of this thing, and I get it. I'm also just, like, turned to them, and I'm like, I did not make this film. For some reason, when I take people to see a movie, all of a sudden I'm on the hook for all of it, for every last bit of it, including the fact that
that's not fair.
My wife's Coke was flat. I got on the hook for that too. It's not fair. You hear that? You hear that, Laura? It's not fair. Corey said it, and I'm going to point you in his direction.
Oh,
ayo.
Great. Okay.
What have you been watching though?
Well,
what
have you
been, that's kind of what I've been watching.
The two that come to mind are pretty, you know, on both sides of the content extreme, but kind of interesting takes on masculinity, both of them. The first is Howard Hawks' film Sergeant York from 1941, starring Gary Cooper.
You really did
Gary
dust Cooper. It off.
Yeah. This is a Hawks film I hadn't seen. It's one of Cooper's most famous roles. It's, you know, he plays a World War I sharpshooter. He's kind of this hick moron from middle of nowhere. You know, the Holler in Tennessee, and he's like, I ain't never seen no books before, sure do know how to shoot this gun. And he's like a rowdy fellow who finds the Lord, gets sober, and becomes a war hero. And it is, you know, the movie came out in 1941. It came out on the eve of, you know, American enlistment in World War II.
But 300.
Well, look, I mean, if Zack Snyder had half the fucking talent as Howard fucking Hawks, then we might be talking about 300 in a different way. But Howard Hawks is one of the best filmmakers who ever lived. And there is some really, you know, important sort of propagandistic, yes, but sort of myth-making in this movie. You know, the movie came out before Pearl Harbor, but it played pretty long after Pearl Harbor. And... I think
it came out before Pearl Harbor, the movie.
Yeah, it did.
Just a couple years.
Just a couple. If it's going to be kind of an enlistment tool, at least Howard Hawks made it, and it has a really great supporting role from Walter Brennan, the great Walter Brennan. It's not my favorite Hawks, but I'm glad that I watched it. Now, on the other side of the extreme is a movie that just relentlessly bummed me out and is gross and disgusting and made me feel bad.
Oh no!
And I think that it's a movie that you're not going to be shocked when I name it.
Okay.
Sam Peckinpah's Straw Dogs.
You didn't like it.
I loved it.
I got you.
Bummed me out.
Yeah.
It is a grimy, disgusting movie.
Yeah. But you did like it.
Okay. I did. I got you. I thought it was fantastic.
Actually about to be surprised.
So. No, I was super into it. I mean, you know, it starts from minute one. They're shooting the English countryside it's everything is just gray and muddy, and all the people are grubby little monsters, and the whole place is inhospitable.
So it's realistic.
And then in comes Dustin Hoffman, as condescending as you please, with his immature younger wife, Susan George, and they hate each other's fucking guts. They're already in like marital discord. And then these village men, to a person, of whom are all just like drunken, like rapists on the prowl, they get into this like territorial pissing match with Peck Dustin and Hoffman, and you know, it's infamous, of course, for the very unflinching and difficult rape scene that happens halfway through, that's controversial. It was controversial in 1971. Yeah. It's damn sure controversial now. Sure. And it will make you feel awful.
Yeah.
And then you think that the sort of, you know, violent revenge part of that will come along in the second half of the movie to sort of redeem that. But then, it turns out that unlike in a movie like Dirty Harry or Death Wish or something, when Dustin Hoffman gets his revenge, it also bums you out, because this is the world of Sam Peckinpah. The world is hell. Men are monsters. Everybody sucks.
Hashtag real life.
Yeah, I mean, great movie, but I don't think I ever want to watch it again.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I really like Peckinpah. And this is the third movie of his that I've seen, but it's the one that makes the others kind of click into place for me.
Gotcha.
I feel like I've got more of a handle of him on him now.
And are you watching this on like a 4K Blu-ray? Is that what you're
just
doing?
A regular Blu-ray?
Okay, gotcha.
The others I've seen are Ride the High Country and The Wild Bunch, and those are both really well regarded, especially the Wild Bunch. And I really like those, but I kind of didn't have a handle on him until this. And so again, a straight up bummer, but I'm glad I watched it.
For sure.
Yeah.
You know, I have one quick rec, too, because I don't know that I don't know that I'd recommend anything that I really suggested or talked about earlier. And this recommendation is this. So you must remember this podcast, which I talk about all the time, Karina Longworth's podcast. Well, she apparently had some music clearance issues with episode one.
Uh-huh.
And episode one for 10 years has been pulled down, and you have not been able to listen to it. And so for her 10th anniversary of the podcast, she is re-releasing that has re-recorded it, has gotten rid of some of the music rights issues and re-recorded certain parts of it and is re-releasing it. And I've already listened to it because I'm a Patreon subscriber, but it is on Kim Novak.
Right.
And it is really, it's a quick one too. It's like 28 minutes or something. It's fairly, fairly breezy. And it's really, really interesting. And that's kind of a fun one to go back and listen to. Even if it's number one. So if you've never listened to her podcast before, it's an interesting entryway in. Mm-hmm. It's how she would have originally wanted you to listen at first. But it also does demonstrate, and one of her points was to be able to make a connection between how far she's come in 10 years in regards to quality of recording and the sort of research and all of it. So cool one to go listen to. Plus, Kim Novak.
So, I haven't listened to this, but Kim Novak had such a wonderful 1958, not only with Vertigo, which is the big one, but Bell, Book, and Candle. Have you ever seen Bell, Book, and Candle?
I have not.
It's so good.
She talks about it a little bit. Mostly she talks about the relationship, which I wasn't aware of, with Sammy Davis Jr.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that either.
It's an interesting, interesting insight, and it should be released in April.
Okay.
To everyone.
I'll check it out.
So you can listen for free in April, or you can subscribe to her now and listen now.
Cool.
Anyway, that's just a little, I thought I'd point you towards that, and maybe everybody else towards that as well, for your podcast listening. You know, just when you need a break from Side Talks.
And you want to, you know, catch up with the Erotic 80s series as that series prepares to start at the Sidewalk Cinema.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Listen along with the relevant episodes there and come see the movies. And
Vertigo is sort of a predecessor to all of that. Man. It's Notorious is probably my favorite Hitchcock film, but Vertigo is number two. It is I know you're going to make it a face.
No.
I think it's so, so weird.
It really
digs into Hitchcock's bullshit.
I think that this is tough. It's a close fight for number one between Vertigo and Psycho for me.
Yeah, I'm kind of, I hate to say this, but kind of tired of watching Psycho. I know.
Never get tired
and
of it.
And I'm really tired of watching Rear Window. I know this is blasphemy. Mm. I don't give a fuck.
I watch Rear Window, Vertigo, and Psycho every year in my film class.
Yeah,
and
great. Good for you.
They both, all three of them are just amazing.
I mean, I break down the shower scene every year, and it's brilliant. It's not that it's not brilliant. It's just that I've overdone it. It's kind of like I'm sure at one point in my life I like girls just want to have fun. Like I'm sure in the 80s when it first played, I'm sure I was like, this is really kind of fun. I like this song. And now I'm like, I want to absolutely slit someone's throat. We never need to hear this song again. You know, Am I wrong?
No,
am I wrong?
You're definitely not wrong about that.
And I feel the same way about Psycho. Whoops, sad. I said it.
I strongly disagree, but I'll tell you this. The deeper cut Hitchcock that I showed to my class one year that they ate up, Strangers on a Train.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, it's great.
Also, brilliant opening. Uh-huh. Great. His films are really great for teaching editing and just sort of these basics of juxtaposition, if you will. Anyway, we don't need to tell you. Turns out Hitchcock's good at his job. Maybe not such a nice guy.
No, I don't like his films, but I do love his personal life. Yeah, boom. That joke applied to another filmmaker.
Boy, it applies to a lot of them, Corey.
A lot of filmmakers that I like a lot. Okay.
He was a great guy.
He was a great guy. Don't worry about Sam Peckinpah. He is definitely
in the clear.
Looking up at us right now from hell, in the clear. You know, agreeing with everything that we're saying.
Oh, that's what we've been watching.
Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Side Talks podcast.
We're your own personal cinematic pineapple upside down master blast.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And fried chicken and waffles Benedict.
Okay, well, at least that's recognizable as food. What is a master blast?
Oh, get ready for it. Are you ready? No. And I'm not going to spoil it. I'm going to leave the best for last.
Okay.
It is vanilla ice cream, pineapple, salted caramel, pie crust pieces. Now, all of that together, okay, whatever. If you want to master blast something, sure, I get it. Most of the reviews are doesn't taste like pineapple upside down cake, and that's what they were expecting. But my favorite review, because I discovered this on a different list before I went looking for reviews.
Okay.
But my favorite review was, oh no, I ate this, and then I read the calories after, and I don't know what to do. Like,
read the calories before next time.
Too late. I mean, it was Reddit, and everybody dogpiled to let this person know what an idiot they were. Don't worry, they're taken care of.
Good.
2,020 calories for a large. 2,020 calories for a large, and Boo Bear, it is 95 grams of fat.
That's too many.
That's hard to do.
Yeah.
That's hard to do.
Wow.
Exactly. That is hard to do. And by the way, nothing I said would make you think that. Like, you're kind of like, okay, pineapple, sure. Okay, I'm assuming that's in some kind of heavy syrup or something, but still.
Well, what's the pie crust
vanilla
made
ice cream
out of?
What, I know. What is pure fat? Pure lard?
Yeah, it's got to be, right?
And then deep fried and then rolled in more lard? I don't know, but that is a gut buster.
Yeah.
And I felt bad for this person because I, too, would see that on a menu and not necessarily think, I would think, okay, calories, but I wouldn't necessarily think 2,000 plus calories this person had the worst day of their fucking life.
Dude, that's a whole day's worth of calories and like 3 days worth of fat.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It's bad.
It's insane. And the other gut buster here, coming in at only 1,670 calories.
Oh, boy.
That tells you something. Right? Like somebody's got to have a number off here or something, right? But I mean, this is just what it sounds like. And it's at this, the Master Blast, the pineapple upside down Master Blast is at Sonic.
Of course.
The Belgian waffle with Eggs Benedict bullshit on it. That is at Cheesecake Factory.
Sure.
Okay. And let me describe, because I've ripped straight from Cheesecake Factory's little mouth.
Oh boy.
Remember when they tried to not pay their rent?
No.
I love that.
What?
Yes, during the pandemic, they were the ones that came out and tried to overthrow and say, we're not paying our rent.
Mm.
Here it is. Our Belgian waffle, as if they invented it.
It's Belgium.
It says Belgium. It doesn't say America. It says Belgium. Our Belgian waffle, topped with crispy fried chicken strips.
Uh-oh.
Strips.
So it's extra processed.
Stripples. Poached eggs and hollandaise, which I like to call hollandaise.
Sure.
It sounds more exotic. Hollandaise.
Yeah.
Sauce. And maple butter syrup, whatever the fuck that is.
Just liquid fat and sugar?
But you could eat that for 1,670 calories, and my guess is probably not need to eat again all damn day. The sad part about the Master Blast, pineapple upside down Master Blast, is I feel like you eat that and you're probably having the shakes so hard that you actually need a protein or something after that, you know? You're going to need to eat something else that day.
You just when you are driving home from Sonic with your giant pineapple upside down Master Blast, just drive straight to the emergency room. Just don't even like go home first.
Yeah. Or if you are an individual who's out there, and there are these people, I can't relate to you, person I'm about to describe, because I just can't. Okay. And I understand that you probably have, like, be careful what you wish for. But if you're a person who's looking to gain weight, uh-huh. You see where I'm going with this.
I do.
If you went and got a pineapple upside down Master Blast and ate that on your way to a cheesecake factory and then had a Belgian waffle, fried chicken, Belgian waffle, Hollandaise sauce thing at Cheesecake Factory, you'd be pretty well on the road to getting a pound on.
So little known fact, Christian Bale did that twice as he prepared to play Dick Cheney in Vice, and that's how he achieved that physique.
He was just eating those pineapple upside down. He was master blasting all day.
Yeah,
Christian Bale strikes me as the kind of guy that would master blast.
And then he just works all that off, you know, to play the skinniest person you've ever seen in your life.
He plays straight up in the Machinist. Yeah. He's straight up a skeleton.
Yeah.
I've never seen somebody with, it literally looks like somebody took a skull and stretched skin across it very tightly. He did not master blast for his role in the Machinist.
No, he did the opposite of that.
Or maybe he did master blast, because I also feel like there's another way that could go down for you, if you know what I'm saying.
I think I do. I think I'm picking up what you're laying down there.
You're welcome.
But yeah, if you're ever playing Dick Cheney in a movie, now you know what to do. I want to be the milkshake, and here's why.
Let's hear it.
I'm allergic to eggs, so I can't do the other one.
You can't do it. Okay, well, I'll be the stripples Hollandaise.
Yeah, that sounds
Hollandaise.
Really unbearable, honestly.
It does. I don't want eggs on stuff. I know some people like that. Like, there's a lot of people out there who are like, just put an egg on top of anything. I'm like, no, I don't want that.
That's a pretty common culinary thing that I have to avoid.
Yeah. Well, just so you know, Corey, I don't think it's good to put an egg on something.
Okay. So I'm not missing out. I feel honestly like a weight has been lifted off my shoulders.
Good. You're not missing anything. I think it's safe to say that this fried chicken catastrophe, you're not missing anything by not being able to.
It sounds like it's gross. No offense to the Cheesecake Factory.
No, we'll take your sponsorship. Offense. We'll take your sponsorship, and we would probably take it in cheesecake. Can you eat cheesecake though?
No,
you can't eat that. Well, Brad and I will take that, and you can bring Corey some tortilla chips and salsa.
I'll take that. That sounds good.
Anyway, we thank you for listening. Sidewalkfest.com and podcast at sidewalkfest.com. That is the email address, podcast@sidewalkfest.com. We want you to send us emails.
That's right. By the time you're hearing this, we've got Problemista playing at the cinema. We want you to come see that with us. So tickets can be found at sidewalkfest.com. We're doing this out of order. So I want to say thank you to Boutwell Studios as well. Thank you, Brad.
You're welcome.
And follow us on social media at Sidewalk Film. We're real excited about the April that we have in store for you. We've mentioned some of it on this episode already. We've got Robert Altman films from the 1970s playing. We've got the start of the erotic 80s series.
So many good films in that series.
A lot coming your way.
Wall to wall. You got a little Richard Gere D. Get out the jar. We haven't had the dick jar out in a while, and we are talking Richard Gere D. So bling it up.
One of the most lucrative penises in Hollywood for quite a period of time there.
Yeah, people like that D. They like that D. And we also have Alabama. Speaking of D, we have Alabama Film Week.
How is that speaking of? Okay.
I just wanted to get people's attention. Alabama's never done anything dickish. Alabama Film Week coming up, and I'm excited about a lot of things. Do not get me wrong, but I do want to point out one of my favorite films of all time, filmed in Opelika, Alabama, Norma Rae. We've only played it once. It was pre-pandemic. For Labor Day. Nobody came, so we're doing it again. This time, you're going to come, right? This time, you're coming to see Norma Rae at the Sidewalk Cinema.
And that's coming in mid-April, so you'll want to check again, sidewalkfest.com, for tickets and showtimes. We'll see you at the cinema. Bye.
Bye.
Boutwell Studios Podcast Division. Your words, our expertise.